Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
And welcome in to the second half of Darren, Donick, and Chase. It is time for You Just Made the List. As you heard, we have some excellent tickets to give away for today's winner. Tickets to the Roger Waters concert coming up at Bridgestone Arena. Later in the show, it'll be pick six. That's next hour. Post Malone tickets for that one. 737-1025 if you want to jump in on the lines and participate. Who is on the list this week? It's Super Bowl week. Been all kinds of fun, always fascinating to follow the sports world. So jump on in, and it doesn't have to do anything with sports if you don't want to. It could be the construction that was going on blocking Steve Lehman from getting to the studio today.
Yeah, traffic could definitely make the list, but it could make the list most days.
Most
here,
weeks,
you know?
Yeah,
most
when
weeks.
We do this, it could happen. So, Steve, you want to lead it off?
I do have one. I'll be fairly brief, but the other night in the Predators game in Washington, I'm sitting at the station or in the studio, and you know, UC coughs up the puck and hands it over to Ovechkin. He scores on the doorstep, and the Preds basically do that two more times. Benito's pass gets deflected. Just three awful decisions, plays in a row that turn that game around. At the moment, they go to the break, the intermission on NBC Sports Network, and Keith Jones just starts the analysis by saying the Preds are just not a smart team. And he goes on to explain those things. And so I quote him on Twitter, and I say, Keith Jones, the Preds are just not a smart team, in quotes. And then after that, I wrote, after that period, Nashville nods in agreement. I felt a fairly benign tweet. I had this guy tweet back to me and said, hey, Steve, why so much dislike for our area teams? If you don't like them, go to another city. how is me quote tweeting, or not even quote tweeting, how is me quoting Keith Jones dislike for anything other than, you know, turning
it's
the puck over behind the net? So,
well, they had
that guy
Keith
makes
Jones
the
had,
list for me.
Okay, I 100%. Twitter, it's so crazy because the more passionate your fans are, especially during this particular time in the Predators' arc of history, where expectations are high. And they've gone through some tough times. You feel it just watching it. I try to stay off Twitter during the games,
right?
Because it just adds another level of emotion that it's hard enough just to watch the ups and downs of the game, but the hyperbole that happens. Now, Keith Jones, I give him credit during the analysis where he starts off with that comment, he had several video clips to illustrate some things that were not smart.
Oh, yeah.
That they did in that period.
I mean, it was an easy comment to make after what we just saw there.
Yeah,
but
in the second period of any number of Predator games, I don't know what's going on in the second period. They just have not played well.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
And the lapses, I mean, you know, Benito said it, I guess, Monday night after the loss, but the lapses have been a problem for them. But I just, you know, one, it's not my job to be a fan. But two, I was just quoting what Keith Jones said.
All right, let's hear it from Elijah. What do you got? Who's on your list?
So this week, I won't have to put my car on the list.
You just made the list!
Oh, boy, yeah.
And this was on, Tuesday? So I couldn't make the first segment of the show on Tuesday. Marquise Munson, thankfully, was able to fill in for me. I was heading up, because I live in Murfreesboro, on 24, heading up Tuesday morning. And as I'm backing out of the driveway, my battery light comes on in my car. And the first thing I thought of is, of course, you know, that's not good. And I was like, surely I can at least get to the station. I'll figure it out from there. Well, on the interstate, passing exit 64, coming here from Murfreesboro. And then, of course, all the lights come on, everything. My radio turns off, and I was like, well, that's not good. Try to turn the radio on. Then I realize my car battery is dying, and I am in bumper-to-bumper traffic.
Oh, bad feeling.
In the middle of the road, second lane over from the shoulder, and I'm just stuck. My battery's dying, like, lights are flickering and everything. And eventually, after laying on the horn and putting on my hazards, I was eventually able to roll to the shoulder of the road. And after about an hour and a half, I finally got some assistance from a good Samaritan who was able to give me enough juice to get to a Hardee's parking lot, where I eventually picked up a ride from a stranger and was dropped off here. This car I've only had for about 6 months, and it's been perfect until this past week.
You got a ride from a stranger?
Yeah, I don't recommend it. No, absolutely. I'm actually kind of surprised I survived.
So it was not a Uber or Lyft. It was.
Oh no! Well, I called. I could put Tennessee Highway Patrol on the list too, because I called them, and in an hour and a half they didn't come at all. I didn't get a hand from anybody. I told them where I was.
Wow. So it was a good Samaritan that gave you a ride.
It was. Yeah, he gave.
Did you do the hitchhiker thumb? Did you go out on the side of the road and said, "I need help, man. I need a ride."
I was sitting in my car. I was just sitting in my car, you know, kind of just waiting for Highway Patrol, rolling through Twitter, thinking, "What else could I do?" And then just. Beat up red van comes over, pulls the side of the road, and starts backing up closer to me. And it was a little sketchy. And honestly, I probably, you know, if I would have told it to myself like that, I'd say, no, don't get in the van with the stranger. I mean, everything my parents taught me from a young age, I kind of just violated.
The van with no windows, just.
But on the other hand, yeah. You do appreciate the kindness of 100%. Somebody that's willing to do that. Like recently, I still can't figure out why or what happened, but. After our show, we were on a remote, and my battery went dead in the parking lot during the show.
Not a good week for car batteries.
And I was like, what's going on? I needed to jump, and there's people coming in and out of the store. And, you know, they don't have to give you the time of day. They got things to do.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
They saw me struggling. I had one of our coworkers had the cables, but we were trying to maneuver the car, and it's hard to get it to reach from one. And this guy just said, he whipped him out. He knew exactly what to do. He was... 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But he was super nice. You know, just the random act of kindness. You got to appreciate that.
You're right.
It's a tough dilemma. Like, do I help this guy? Am I helping somebody who's bad news?
Yeah. Exactly. And he seemed to know what he was doing. And if there's a good list where you're putting people on, that gentleman is definitely
a very well rounded story. You put your car and the highway patrol on the list, and then you salute another guy for. Being a good Samaritan.
And I think the only reason he brought me here was because he's like, hey, man, I don't have much time to be able to help you out. I have to be at the airport in a little bit. And it's like, so if you work, you know, so anywhere close to being on the way, I can help you out. I can take you to work. And I was like, it's funny you say that. Work right by the airport. So it turned out really well. And that guy was able to give me a little bit of juice and was able to test my battery to say, it's not your battery, it's your alternator. So the guy, a good Samaritan, is put on the good list if we have one. But there's an imaginary one. We'll put him on it.
So the car is on the list.
It is on the list.
The good Samaritan is on the good list.
Right.
Okay. That's fitting. All right. We'll take a break. I'll give you mine on the other side, and we will start taking the calls for the Roger Waters tickets. Jump in there. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 if you want to get somebody on the list and try to win the tickets. Stay tuned. We're coming back. Okay, it's time to participate. This is a participatory segment. 737-1025 if you want to get somebody on the list. We've got a couple of phone lines open. We invite you to jump in. Roger Waters tickets will be the prize today. I'll give you my submission. My candidate, but this would be the crew for the list this week. There's a lot of things that you can talk about the Predators, right? The issues that they're having. They've had issues, right? And I'm saying this after they've won two straight games,
sure.
Right? But even though they won the last two games, they still have some issues that they've got to smooth out if they want to ultimately reach their potential, right? And there's still a lot of hockey to be played. But among the issues that I hear thrown into the bin, if you got this bin of issues that people are talking about, you have certain themes that develop. One of them that still gets thrown in there that I get confused with is they still need secondary scoring. Every now and then it's like, okay, they need this. They got to get the second period, the special teams. Okay, all of that stuff, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Best players have to be best players. Yeah, yeah. Goalies got to be better. Yeah, yeah. Then you'll hear the odd person go, and they need more secondary scoring. I was on a national podcast recently, and they were asking me about that. I was like, that's not the problem, right? If you're still throwing that once was an issue.
Right.
Right? That's kind of like last year or the year before is an issue.
That was the complaint of last year.
Right, so you're late to the party on that. You get stay current, right? Stay abreast. That's not the issue anymore, right?
No.
Not now, not this year. Now, it could end up becoming one. Theoretically, it could come back around.
If anything, this team needs more top-line scoring. I mean,
well,
if anything, they need the absolute stars to play better.
That is a much bigger issue. And so it's in the context, too, of this team can score goals, right? They're scoring goals, even with the top players not having great years. They still rank in the top 10 in goals per game. So I understand that you're still looking for more dynamic play, but it's not offense per se in that they can score. It's scoring but not giving up as much. I mean, there's a lot of things that top players can do to help you win a game. In addition to scoring, like Mikhail Granlund last night didn't have a point, but he might have been their best all-around player
everywhere.
Last night. He was fantastic.
And he was awesome on Wednesday. I mean, he's playing very well.
He is. And so when you give me the secondary scoring thing, I'm kind of exposing you as a person on the list.
You just made the list!
For being a little late to the... No, let's catch up.
Yeah.
Let's catch up. Let's get with what the issues are right now. There's plenty of them.
Get into 2020.
That's not one of them right now. The secondary scoring.
Hmm.
Nick Bonino had another goal last night.
He's been amazing.
He has been something. He would be part of what I would say would be the secondary.
Oh, for
scoring,
sure.
Right? Rocco Grimaldi, sure. Secondary scoring. Those guys have done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
The Yakov, Trenton's chipping in, etc. They're getting
Chidori the other night. Yannick Weber getting a goal. I mean,
that might be, what would you say, tertiary? If we get to Tenorti and Weber.
Fringe scoring.
Yeah,
fringe scoring.
The cherry on top kind of scoring.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was nice. It was nice. That's not what you're going to get every night,
no.
For sure. But it on the other front, though, of trying to get the top players to be the top players, it was nice that it was Ryan Johansson, it was Matt Duchene the last couple of nights that made big plays in the third period, in the shootout, to get him going. Philip Forsberg, huge goals the last night.
Gotta have more of
that. And the shootout goal. Yeah, a little bit more where that comes from, and you got a shot. Still got to get the defense where it needs to be, though. That's the next thing.
Yeah.
But from the scoring end, boy, the big name guys did step up. All right, 737-1025. Jump in for You Just Made the List. Mike was first in. Mike, welcome to the show. Who's on your list?
Hey, so I work as a catering driver, so I take orders to all sorts of offices. This particular client was extremely bubbly and positive, so it didn't seem like it was anything out of the ordinary. I go to get to her to assign her seat, and my pen dies. And she said, oh, don't worry, I got a pen from my other job. And I was like, okay, cool, great. So she hands me this pen, and it's for a crematory and mortician service. She goes, yeah, it's my other job. And then she also, in follow suit, hands me her card and says, oh, hey, here's my card in case you ever need my services. So I'm already kind of weirded and creeped out by all this, but I move on. It's a good pen. So I'm going to hold on to this pen. I go on with the rest of my day. I learn news that my son, who's 10 months old, has croup. That's not good. The next day, the van that I drive to work, a tire blew out, and I had to be helped on the side of the road, kind of like your producer. Then the next day, my lighter dies and everything else. So I feel like this pen is haunted.
Ooh.
So the lady who gave me this pen, I'm going to get an envelope I'm going to mail it back to her, and I'm going to tell her that she's on the list and that I don't need her bad juju anymore.
Wow.
You just made the list.
I'm reminded of the old Brady Bunch episode where they had what they thought was a good luck charm in Hawaii.
Yeah.
But it was the taboo. Remember that?
Not a good luck charm.
No.
All these bizarre things start happening to the Bradys. I think that might – you had a little taste of that, Mike.
Yeah.
It is the pen. There's no question. It's the pen. There's no question. Send that thing back.
So the pen is gone. I've had a good day today.
Okay. Okay. That's a good start. Mike, thanks for participating. Good stuff. 737-1025. We need some people. It's Friday. Come on. Super Bowl week. Jump on in there, 737-1025. Let me get to Barrett up next. Barrett, welcome to the show. Who's on your list?
Hey, Steve, welcome in. You've got to put the good guy, roadside helper, Samaritans on the good list.
Yeah.
The people who do that have been through that kind of thing, and they know what you're going through. For years and years and years, I have always helped anyone with a flat because I have tons of tools in my vehicle, and I'm always working. And months or so ago, I had a massive blowout and was in a really bad spot, and 8 people stopped to help me. We had it done in no time flat.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, so you always got to do that. But here's my list, guys. Helicopters.
You just made the list!
Stevie Ray, Davey Allison, Kobe. These light aircraft, man, they're nothing to mess around with. Damn you, helicopters, you just made the list.
Mm. You just made the list!
Yeah, you do think about that kind of thing with just the safety of it, how often. I mean, that is a lot of information has come out on how often Kobe Bryant was using the helicopter, the convenience of it, the reasons he did it, all well-intentioned, for sure. But you got to be super careful, you know. But if I had the means, I live in Los Angeles, and those things, would I have done that? Maybe. I don't know.
Well, he said the reason he started doing it is he wanted to spend more time with his family. He realized that he'd wake up early and spend the time to go in, and then he'd work out all day and practice and do all those things, and he'd be stuck in the car for like an hour and a half or 2 hours to get home, and he'd miss them getting out of school or coming home from school. And he was like, I can buy a helicopter, and I'll be home in 10 minutes, and I can go pick them up at school myself and spend time with them. So, I mean, it's all well-intentioned, but, man, helicopters have always kind of freaked me out for some reason. And I love to fly. Like, I love flying. Planes don't freak me out at all. But helicopters have always kind of worried me, and this week certainly did not help.
I have no statistics that tell me whether helicopters are safer, unsafer, or somewhere in between than anything else. But you can certainly anecdotally think of these tragedies, you know, that he just listed, you know, some helicopter accidents. But it really makes a lot of sense. I never thought of a helicopter, but Chris Mason one time posed the question, what if you had the superpower of being able to teleport? Like all this time you spent on the road, if you could teleport back, would you give up something to be able to teleport? What price would you pay to do that, to be able to see big things that you miss when you're on the road? I mean, it's the same principle, right, that Kobe Bryant had of, well, there's a way I can save a lot of time and get to more stuff for my family. It's admirable, for sure, but there's probably a little more danger involved. That's what they're looking into now, obviously, is, you know, what decisions were made when they decided to fly that day, the weather conditions, all of that stuff.
Well, and I'll be the first person to tell you that there's harm in being on the road, too. I mean, like, like being in your car is the safest place in the world. So,
sure.
You know, I don't know if it has any more danger than that, but it is, you know, obviously any crash in a helicopter is probably going to be a real, real problem.
Mm-hmm. So, 737-1025, if you want to join in. Doug, welcome to the show. You're on 1025 The Game.
Hey, gentlemen, I didn't hear you introduce. Anyway, it's DW here. So I've got I tell you who makes the list for me. It's people that insist on putting speaker on their cell phones in public, and I have to listen to their conversation. Or even worse to me, this happened, of all places, at a Shoney's breakfast bar. I'm just having breakfast with my kid. I got a couple that comes in. They're like my age. They're middle age. Sit behind me. I guess the man's trying to set the vibe with his lady for the day because he's got his like Luther Vandross and stuff playing on his speakerphone, or on his phone, there on his table, one booth behind me. I got to hear all this sexy music the whole morning as I'm trying to eat my scrambled eggs with my kids. I got a problem with that.
You just made the list!
So it's one thing if a guy's sitting in the booth next to you at a restaurant and has the headphones on, whatever, and you're hearing one way in the conversation. You're saying you're hearing both sides of the conversation.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, yeah, well, there's two things here. Like, just shopping and Christmas, I kept noticing people walking around me talking on their phone on speaker. I'm hearing private conversations about mama and her mental illness. We got to have a conversation with the sister and the brother. I'm like, I don't need to hear all this. I'm just trying to get some Christmas gifts. And then, you know, this other time I'm sitting at that restaurant, just a morning breakfast, listening to a guy, you know, get his groove on.
So he was playing music.
He's just playing music. Yeah, he's got it sitting on.
So he's never heard of headphones?
No headphones. He just got it playing. So anyone in that whole area of Shoney gets to listen to his music. And like I said, this isn't a young guy. This is a guy my age. I almost said something to him. I said, you know what? It's not worth it. I'll just sit back and listen to the tunes I really don't care to hear. But, you know, these are the same kind of people that wear wear pajamas to Walmart all the time. That's those same kind of folks in my world that I just don't get it.
A separate category, but a related category. Doug, thanks a lot for the call. Good stuff. 737-1025. Let's get next to Chris. Chris, tell us who's on your list.
The national and local media on my list as it pertains to the Kobe Bryant story. It just kind of irked me a little bit that they would always say Kobe Bryant's name and just say seven others. If it were me, I would have intentionally put each one of those individuals' names on the broadcast so all of them could be recognized for the loss that everybody's family suffered.
Yeah, I've heard that narrative a little bit here and there. I don't think the intentions were bad. It's hard. I mean, Steve, you're part of it.
I actually did exactly that.
Yeah.
So I would tell you, you need to watch me more. But I've seen a lot of people do that.
Headshots of all the people on the on the helicopter. It's just, you know, it's, I guess, somewhat natural that when it's a super celebrity, you're going to get a lot more attention to him.
I mean, if you're being honest, the name that everybody knew was Kobe Bryant. Nobody knew who any of the other people were, maybe his daughter, but like nobody knew who any of the other people were really, unless you had some tie to them. And so that's why it comes out that way. You're limited in time, and Kobe's the story that people most want to hear about at this point.
You got one more you want to read, Elijah?
Yeah, we actually got one on the text line. And of course, if you want to win the prize, you got to call in. But we got a text. It says, putting myself on the list, I make the work travel schedule, and I scheduled us to be in Northern California Monday. As a Chiefs fan since I was a child, I've been waiting to see them in the Super Bowl since the last one. Believe me, I have looked at every flight option between Miami and San Francisco, but we'll be watching the game from NorCal on Sunday.
Oof. You just made the list!
Well, and not just is he not going to be at the Super Bowl location, but he's going to be in the location of the team of which the Chiefs are playing.
That's a double bummer.
I mean, this is a terrible development.
He's going to be outnumbered.
Oh, big way.
He's got issues. All right, we'll come back, and we will continue our discussion, and we will crown the winner of You Just Made the List. Let me start off by telling you about Lee Company, 615-567-1000. Jump on in if you have issues going on at home with your heating, with your cooling. And at this time of the year, if your heating has been giving you trouble, by all means, call 615-567-1000 and talk to the folks at Lee Company. They do an outstanding job with that. I can tell you firsthand. And we go beyond that. In our household, we're part of their home maintenance plan. So we get the annual checkups of our heating unit, our cooling system, plus plumbing and electric. So they stay up on top of that stuff. I am the last guy you would want to ask to check anything or judge anything of what's going on with those systems. I don't know anything. So that's why I rely on Lee Company to help us with those things. They'll make the recommendations of stuff that you need to be thinking about and eventually repairing. If you're in a house long enough, you're going to need to make repairs. But you will save money over the long term with the home maintenance plan that Lee Company provides for you. So find out more about it by going to LeeCompany.com, or as I said, give them a call, 615-567-1000. Lee Company, big sponsor, Nashville Predators. All right, thanks to everybody who participated. and you just made the list. Your next chance to win something will be with Pick 6. That's coming up at 1 o'clock. Post Malone tickets at stake there. So get ready to hit the phone lines. Coming up, also, Hal Gill will join us at 1:45 to talk some Predators. Speaking of the Predators, they had a nice two-game road sweep. They played home tomorrow night against the Vegas Golden Knights. So we got a chance to talk to Mike Tirico with both of the games on NBC Sports Network. If you didn't catch it, he did the game against the Capitals. So we had a chance to talk to Mike, and we got into a number of things. He has a very deep perspective on a number of topics, including his dealings with Kobe Bryant, the all-time greats, calling hockey as opposed to other sports, the adjustment he makes, the Super Bowl, Pat Mahomes. He did the radio of the Titans' win against the Patriots. So this guy is an interesting thing. So we decided we wanted to let you play hear that if you didn't before. So here's Mike Tirico from NBC.
Mike Tirico is on the line. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How are you?
Great. You know, we haven't had a chance to see you do a lot of hockey, so have you enjoyed it?
Well, there would be a good reason for that, because I haven't done a lot of hockey.
Yeah, I know. Was it last year, your first year? Is that right?
I had never done it before. Truth be told, a couple of years ago, during the Preakness, as hockey fans know, Eddie Olczyk, our lead analyst, is a great handicapper of the horse races as well and works on our Triple Crown coverage. And I've always been a big hockey fan from growing up in New York as a kid. And we were watching the hockey, and I'm picking Edzo's brain constantly about the playoffs and what's going on and lines and can they do this and do that and styles and all that junk. And so we're sitting there, and one of our executives, our executive producer for the entire network, Sam Flood, we're sitting there, and the challenge went out. Like, could you do a hockey game? We're like, sure. Yeah, and you're never going to back down from it. So about 4 months later, like, okay, hey, we got a few on the schedule for you. Like, okay, we're going to find out if I can or not. So I did three last year, including a playoff game. I loved it. I had a blast. I get a chance to do a couple of games here, starting with this one tonight. So we're looking forward to it. We're over at the arena. The Preds didn't skate, as you may know this morning, but they were over there playing soccer in the back, as usual. We talked to John Hines for a bit. Very interesting time and a very important stretch here for the Preds. And Willie's getting ready for the West Coast, West Canada trip coming up starting next week. It's going to be really an important run for this team to see what February and March are going to look like.
Yeah, nothing like Canada in February.
Yep.
Dress warm.
Canada in January was quite cold. It was minus 32 just a couple weeks ago when we were at Edmonton. So we got that going for us.
And upon return to Nashville, it was like almost 100 degree difference in temperature from when you took off to when you landed?
Yeah, you've done your homework. That's exactly what we were. It was almost exactly 100 degrees difference from the time we took off to the time we landed.
Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, that should be right around the time where it's ridiculously cold. So enjoy that three-game stretch out there. But it is beautiful. You can say that.
Yep. Two years ago, Mike, the two of us were in Winnipeg when the Predators played them in the playoffs. And
yeah.
It was second round. That was probably what, Willie? Early May? Is that right?
Late April, yeah. Early May. Yeah.
And it was still freezing cold up there. That level, but it was still cold.
I remember watching a bunch of that series because a forward, not a top six forward, but a next six forward for the Jets, Andrew Kopp, who has been there, God, I think for about 6 years now. Andrew went to the same high school that my son did in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So I've watched Andrew from when he was a high school football quarterback as a freshman all the way through. So I keep a close eye on the Jets during the year. And that was a heck of a series, obviously, with Nashville and Winnipeg. But I do remember that was a second rounder early May, right around Derby time. I actually remember watching that game in the place where we usually watch hockey playoffs over in Louisville. So
yeah.
Fun times. And, you guys have been regulars in the playoffs. And, I'll never forget the loudest building I had heard since doing NBA games at Arco Arena in Sacramento, with that corrugated metal roof, were the games that I went to. I went to the game in the finals, brought my son down to Nashville for the finals games, and that was the loudest I've ever heard any building. I was there, and everybody was standing, and I'm like, okay, great, we'll get to the first TV timeout. This is awesome. Now we'll sit down, enjoy the game, get to the first break under 14. And then everybody stands back up. I go, okay, so we're in this for the whole game. I got it now. And, man, it was a great, great atmosphere and a great building. And candidly, we're missing a little bit of that because the team isn't giving the fans something to get off their feet and cheer about.
Yeah. Who gave you tickets, Charles Barkley or Nick Saban? Which one?
No.
Because they were both here.
Even better, my boss is at NBC. So it was the right time to work in the right place.
Well, you've done a lot of different sporting events. What was the biggest challenge, Mike, kind of gearing up to start doing hockey games?
Yeah, well, I mean, for Willie and, you know, for the guys like Doc Emmerich and Kenny Albert and everyone else, look, we all have sports that we do, and you know that there's nuance involved in it, and there's comparative difficulties in each sport. Whether basketball, it's your proximity to the court, the relentless night in, night out of the NBA. For football, it's the scheme and trying to understand personnel because there are so many guys coming in and out. So each one has its own unique set of difficulties. In baseball, it's how much do you talk, how much do you lay out, all that. I've got to tell you, hockey's the toughest. I have such a respect for Willie, for, like I said, Kenny and Doc and all the people who do this on a night in, night out basis, John Forslin. It's hard as heck, man. It is hard because of line changes. You know, the second period the other night, John Hines just put the defensive pairs in one of those lotto drums, and it was just kind of, all right, we're going to start this period. We'll throw Yossi and Faber out there. You know, so all those things, you get in a pattern, but you can't be in a pattern. Your identification has to be instant. In a fast-moving game, you almost have to be ahead of the play. So it's a unique and very, I would say, out of the ordinary challenge for play-by-play guys to keep up with the speed times the personnel changes that happen as the action's going. It's a big challenge. It's a lot of fun. I'm sure it's going to take me at least a period or so to get back up to speed tonight, but that's okay. We'll figure it out anyway.
Mike Tirico on the line with us. Last thing on my end before I flip this over to Willie. I'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about the big story that came out on Sunday and Kobe Bryant, and certainly your history with calling the game. And I believe you were on the call for his final game, the 60 points, right?
I was. The game aired on ESPN. It was kind of a surreal in 100 significant ways because of the things that were said and Kobe not being with us anymore and his daughter being at the game. It was also a little surreal to me because I was sitting back next to my partner, Hubie Brown. I've almost 3.5 years since I left ESPN for NBC. And, you know, kind of be back on ESPN and calling the NBA again, it was just kind of odd and just a shock to the system like the whole thing was. But that night was – that night may in some ways encapsulate what Kobe was all about. The Lakers ended up that year 17-65. It was the worst season in Lakers history, which followed the prior season, which was at that point the worst season in Lakers history. They brought a Hollywood Finals type energy to the building that night. Kobe, you know, we didn't know how many minutes he had in him because it was just breaking down at the end. And he put on a show. He took 50 shots to score 60 points. It was an incredible performance, and if you didn't know the work ethic, the passion, the desire of greatness that Kobe Bryant was motivated by, if you just saw that game, you'd say, wow, this guy's wired a little bit differently than everyone else. And it's a tragedy for all the other families involved and the other seven that we didn't know and didn't have this human connection to. But for Kobe and his daughter to be there going to basketball and travel basketball, and everybody who has a kid who's involved in sports has been traveling by a different mode of transportation in all likelihood, but we could all relate. It all felt so very real to us. It's just been really a surreal and awful couple of days, to be honest.
Mike Tirico is with us from NBC. He will be on the call tonight on NBC Sports Network, Predators and the Washington Capitals. And Mike, you've got a great perspective for this question, but it sort of dawned on me, and Darren was watching the same tennis match. There was a gentleman from the Nashville area, born and raised here, that was playing Roger Federer, and he had 7 match points.
Yeah, I know.
And
oh, yeah.
Federer saves them all, and he goes on. He's injured. He's battling through, and he wins the match in 5 sets. But it dawned on me that is the kind of characteristic that sets apart the truly great athletes like Kobe Bryant, and Federer would be one of them. And you've got a great perspective. You call these different sports, so you rarely see that kind of greatness. And so that's the kind of thing that separates them.
You're right on. That's exactly it. And that's what kind of comes to mind as you're talking about Kobe this week. There's not a drastic difference between most of the athletes at the elite professional level. There is some, but there's not a significant one, okay? I think that margin of difference in talent just shrinks when you go from high school sports to collegiate sports to professional sports. But when you see the guys who separate to the 0.0001% of the top, the all-time greats, you just see a different gear. And I think this social media time, this time where more sports are out and available, and there's more big sponsorship opportunities, so big names like Nike get athletes involved in certain causes or getting athletes involved together. We've seen a whole generation of Federer, Kobe, Serena, all those in that ilk in hockey, Ovechkin here. You see them meet each other and have this incredible respect for each other. You saw Novak Djokovic get very emotional during the Australian Open this week on court talking about Kobe and the friendship that they had made. You've heard all these women's basketball players talk about Kobe's interest in their sport and how they do and always being available for them as his daughter's building this career. They all can speak the same language that's a little bit different because they are relentless. And there was a story told the other day about a player who played very limited time in the NBA and then eventually was Kobe's teammate. And he was in there shooting, and he was, like, shooting for 2 hours. And Kobe was still out there on the floor at the other end, and he kept going and going. And they finally asked Kobe, do you remember that day? And Kobe said, yeah, I kept going because I wasn't gonna leave while you were still working. I wasn't going to let anybody outwork me. And that's what made Kobe Bryant, in addition to being a great player, an all-time legend.
Well, another segue, I guess, with the Titans season. Of course, you're heavy involved with the NBC coverage of the NFL. The Titans get eliminated by Patrick Mahomes, and he played almost dead letter perfect to eliminate them. He's had an unbelievable postseason. So many people looking forward to seeing him on the biggest stage. Because he might have a chance, who knows, it's early, to become one of these guys that we're talking about. But give us your thoughts on this matchup.
Yeah, it feels that way a little bit. You know, I got busy with some other stuff last week, and the last couple of days have gone so fast. I really have wanted to go back and watch the AFC Championship game one more time, because at 10-0, I was like, you know, I did the Titans-Patriots game on national radio. So I had seen the Titans and prepared for that game, and I was not shocked that they won. We were talking about it going in, that if you could strip the uniforms and the history away from the Patriots and you just prepared for the game, you thought the Titans were the better team. And then we see them in the next round with Baltimore, and then it's 10-0. Like, okay, this is real now. They can do this. And I want to go back and watch the Titans' third and fourth offensive possession of that first half, because I just felt like, after Kansas City scored, maybe it wasn't the play calling, maybe it was just execution, maybe it was the defensive adjustment, but it felt like the game quickened and Tennessee couldn't keep pace with the quicker game. And I bring all of that up because I think that's what I'm looking for in this game. San Francisco wants to keep the ball for 8 minutes, make you miserable, and just 3 yards, 5 yards, 8 yards, first down, run, better on the offensive line, all that stuff. When Kansas City does have success, and you think they will have a little, what does that do to San Francisco? Is San Francisco disciplined enough to keep working at what has been working? That's one big thing. And then the other factor, guys, I think San Francisco is going to need to throw to set up their run. And I think Kansas City is going to need to run to set up their throwing. And I think both teams get back to what they do best by what they do poorest offensively. And the one who can execute in that phase of the game, I think, is the team that walks away with the win.
Mike, if you got time for one more quick one, I was reading a bio of yours. This is a fun one for Darren and I, because Darren and I can remember vividly, this would have been like 16 or 17 years ago, we were doing a show. We were fortunate enough to get Bob Costas on our show, thanks to our colleague Pete Weber, who you'll be alongside tonight.
I saw Pete this morning.
Yes, I'm sure you did. And so we were so excited, we probably spent all day trying to figure out what we're going to ask Bob Costas, right? I noticed on your bio, because you have the connection at Syracuse, you were doing a radio show, and your first guest was Bob Costas. I can't imagine what that was like for you. But what were the questions you asked him?
Oh, God. Well, we were in Syracuse, so we were able to do some reminiscing on Bob's path Bob's days as a minor league hockey announcer in Syracuse, where they were never given a roster of the second team, where they came out in all different uniform numbers, and Bob picked a certain player, and that player had the greatest night of his life, even though he didn't know it, because he was passing to himself, he was setting himself up, he was forechecking, he never came off the ice, and one of those deals back in the day when you could make stuff up and nobody would be noticing. But Bob's become a friend because of our Syracuse connection, and you couldn't ask for anybody to be more gracious as he ended his run at the Olympics in terms of being supportive of what I was going to do. And, you know, you don't replace a Bob Costas. You're the next guy who has the job because he's irreplaceable. And he has been nothing but good. And as a matter of fact, we exchanged we saw each other Wednesday of last week in New York at the memorial service for David Stern. And we exchanged text messages on Sunday after the Kobe thing, because Bob happened to be on CNN. I was on NBC doing stuff, and we were just talking about how, you know, it's just so awful to be there talking about all that stuff, and just didn't seem so real. But Bob's become somebody who I've loved talking to. The coolest thing, guys, working at NBC at this time was to be around Bob and to be around Al Michaels, two guys who I've idolized and looked up to, and now they're teammates. They have been teammates. You work on the same shows as them, and just to sit and hear their stories of the miracle on ice and all that other stuff. It's been one of the great parts of my career to be able to enjoy this kind of run right now.
Mike, if you see Pete again, you can ask him about, what was it, 18 years ago, Willie, the three of us. It was April. We left Tigers opening day at Comerica versus the Twins. The three of us are Willie and I and Pete Weber were walking to the streets, headed to the Joe to see the Predators and the Red Wings that night. And Pete was telling us such great stories that I almost lost my head with a street sign.
Yep.
You can ask. He loves that story.
Okay. Yeah, walked right into a street sign.
Walked right in, and I thought I lost my head.
Yeah, Pete is that compelling of a storyteller.
He's still mortified to this day that I didn't lose my head. I wasn't decapitated.
That is funny. I will ask him about that. You know, Joe Louis Arena is now, I don't know when the Preds came through Detroit, I'm not exactly sure, but Joe Louis Arena is about half torn down. They are in the process of deconstructing that thing, and they're going to do some development on that site in a little bit. But you know, the new arena's been up for a couple of years, and it's a really nice building. But they're also reconstructing the hockey team, too.
Yeah, no kidding. Very good point.
They're last place in the league, which is kind of odd to see after all the years of their successful run and a quarter century going to the playoffs. But this happens. It's cyclical, and that's why I'm interested to see how your guys, how the Preds are going to handle this stretch here. It's a huge game. You hate to say at the end of January these games are big, but, man, you're going on that West Coast trip. You got Vegas coming in on Saturday. It is not easy for the next half dozen games, and you have to get back in the mix before too long. There's just too many teams between you and that last wild card spot at this point.
Why couldn't the Red Wings be like this back when they were in the Predators division instead of winning cups?
Exactly. Hey, a lot of us in Detroit, I've lived there for 20-some odd years, a lot of us in Detroit spent a lot of April and May nights up at midnight, 1 a.m., because it seemed like the Red Wings would always draw a Pacific time zone team in the playoffs. And I swear, worker productivity had to stink around Detroit for stretches in April and May because of that.
Mike, good stuff. Really appreciate the visit, as always, and have fun tonight calling the game between the Capitals and the Predators.
I'll do my best. At least I know we've got the Nashville audience. They won't be tuned over to listen to you, Willie, but that's all right. enjoy the work you guys do. I look forward to catching up with you down the line.
Well, Mike did do an excellent job in that game. Very exciting game. Our thanks to Mike Tirico. We thought we would play that. We think that's the best interview that we've done this week. And I'll tell you what, he has got some interesting perspective for sure. Back to wrap up hour number three in just a moment. Stay tuned. We've got Pick Six coming up top of the hour. Final segment of this hour before we hit the Pick Six. Willie Donick, Steve Lehman here with you. Steve, let's cover one other thing that has been going on here, and there was a news story about it yesterday, and that is the state of affairs long-term with the Nashville SC Group, who, you know, the clock is counting down. We're getting pretty close to the MLS era beginning here.
Yeah,
and that's
going to
be exciting.
Away.
And they play Atlanta United. I'm really excited about what that crowd could look like late February. That could be awesome.
I think it's going to be incredible. I think it's going to be a great scene. And that's one of those where playing in the football stadium is not going to be at all a problem because you can probably put more people in there for what will be a massive opener, first game of the MLS season, first ever game for Nashville SC, and you're taking on an Atlanta United team that is a power and has an enormous following in Georgia and throughout the Southeast. So I think it should be a really, really, really fun night.
I have a feeling, too, that if they can have a decent team and somewhat competitive, I think the crowds, I don't know about in a football stadium, but just judging by what has happened in Atlanta, I do think they are going to have a lot of success in this first year with their fan base. The question is, if you had a crowd of, let's just throw out a number of 35 to 40,000 on a given night, that's an amazing crowd.
Oh, yeah, it'd be a massive crowd.
But it's bigger than what they will eventually play in, but you're in a stadium that seats closer to 70,000, so it may not feel right. like a great atmosphere, but I feel like that's going to happen a few times. I don't know what the number is.
I 100% agree with that. I think they're going to average 25,000 or more. I mean, they've got great crowds consistently in the 10,000 range.
Absolutely.
When they were playing minor league soccer in a minor league baseball stadium. Now it's major league soccer, and it's going to mean a lot more, and people are going to be invested. I mean, you know it. You talk to other parents of kids around your kids' age. I mean, how many kids play soccer in this area? A lot. Mm-hmm. You know, youth leagues, travel ball, into high school, all that sort of thing. I just think it's a sport that people will grab onto.
The first thing that I learned, too, the biggest thing maybe about what I learned from the Atlanta experience, too, is it's a completely different group of people that are your rabid soccer fans. Like, the overlap between the soccer fans and, say, the football fans was very, very small. I'm almost sometimes thinking, well, can you tap into the same? It's not the same people that enjoy coming to the soccer. So I think you're going to be surprised at how many people come out of the woodwork that aren't at all the Titans games or the Predators games or the college basketball games. So I don't know if they're taking fans from other places as much as they've just been waiting to have a soccer team. They're watching all the English Premier League games and everything, and they're going to enjoy just having a team here.
It's been incredible to me over the last couple of years at the rabid nature of the fans and how exciting they are. I mean, they've got support groups and things. They were announcing that a team was coming, and there was a support group that was already doing cheers about Nashville and things like that. That's just different. And it goes to the Premier League. It goes to international soccer. But that's what's different about soccer fans compared to other sports, I think.
So what did you make of the story? It sounds, and I really wasn't following. It had been a little quiet. I'd almost assumed that everything was going on since the whole process that they went through to get everything approved to build the stadium.
Yeah.
Turns out, especially with it seems like the mayoral change has been a big part of this, and the cost overruns that have happened here have created a delay. They've already basically said, push it back a year.
Right.
You're gonna be at least 1 year behind. But still, every day that goes by that you haven't really gotten a chance to start building that complex over there, it's a little bit head-scratching there. Because from the Nashville SC side, it sounds like, hey, wait a minute, we have all this done. We've done all this stuff. We've agreed to do this. So what's going on?
Well, that's what Nashville SC and the MLS said is, look, from a league perspective and from a team perspective, everything's ready to go. The team's about to start playing. I mean, they had their first scrimmage yesterday. They have their first game on February 29th in Nashville. This thing is going. And the only reason it's going is because the city of Nashville promised that it would get a soccer-specific stadium done at the fairgrounds for this to happen. And Greg Garber, the MLS commissioner, said that yesterday. He said, look, we would not have given Nashville a franchise if the city wasn't committed to building this stadium. And here we are, and we keep passing these dates, and nothing's happening, and the mayor's not giving any support. And they met with the mayor this week, Mayor Cooper, and he essentially would not give a promise of a go-ahead that it's going to start at the fairgrounds and it's going to get done. And so from a league and team perspective, I think it feels a little bit like a bait and switch happened. The city said, hey, we're going to do this, and now the city's not necessarily promising it's going to come through.
And why wouldn't they feel like that from their perspective? Now, from the city's perspective, in just reading, and I'm certainly not an expert on all of the details of the deal, but apparently if you tell me something's going to cost, it's just like when you go to car repair shop, like Elijah said, if a guy says, you know, I could do it for $100 or whatever, and then it comes back and the bill is $700, you know, there's a little bit of, hey, wait a minute. This is not what we agreed on. So apparently there's some of that, right? And unfortunately, it seems to happen a lot with any new stadium. Pick a city, pick a year. Sure. The cost ends up being more than what it's it's thrown out at.
Cost always goes up.
Yeah.
I mean, even from 2 years ago, the cost to actually build it now is more than it would be 2 years ago because cost just goes up like that. So I think you have to take some of that into account. But yeah, it's a factor. I had some people ask me yesterday when the story first came out and tweeting about it. Two things. One, they asked, what does this mean for the team right now? Is there any chance that the MLS will yank Nashville SC away, basically? I see no way that happens. I mean, one, a season starting right now. So they're Nashville SC, and they're playing now, and that's not going to change. And the ownership group is committed to Nashville, led by John Ingram. So I can't imagine that they're going to bolt and say, okay, let's go play in St. Louis. Or so. You know, they're not going to do that. So Nashville SC is here. But I think from a city standpoint, this is a really bad look for, you know, if you're the MLS and something's coming up and you would think, hey, Nashville would be a great place for that. If they don't come through on the stadium they promised, are you going to give them anything ever? Probably not. And frankly, even from the outside, if you're the NHL, Gary Bettman was just here. They've got a great relationship with the Predators and the city or the NFL. But now if you see that the new leadership of the city has just done this to another professional sports league, does it give you a little pause before the next time you want to bring something back there, especially if they're promising? You know, the infrastructure isn't already there. If they're saying, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to promise that we'll have this in time to do whatever, are you willing to believe them on that?
I'm sure there's a lot of political gamesmanship going on here, but I would be very disappointed if the mayor's attitude down deep is, let me find a way if I can kill this. Let's find a way to see if we can't prevent this from being built. That to me would be wrong. He should be trying to honor the deal that's been agreed on. He inherited a deal that was agreed on.
Absolutely.
So, okay, you don't like some of these things. Let's work on that part of it, and hopefully they can get on the same page and find a deal where everybody feels better about it. But the goal should be, let's get started. You know, let's get this thing built. This has been agreed upon. We've worked a lot to get this here. This is a big, big commitment that we as a city have already made that he had nothing to do with. He inherited it. So I understand protecting the taxpayers and all of this, the budgetary stuff, but what's the fundamental thought here? I would like to hear him say, I want to get this done, but if you got reservations, but the reservations should be in the context of, I want to find a way to get this done. It's been agreed upon.
Yeah.
They've been through a lot to get this done.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I'd love to see it. And I had somebody else say, well, maybe this would be the start of the mayor trying to put together a plan that does something about the football stadium and maybe incorporates it into a mixed-use place where then soccer. And look, in some ways, I think that's what the city should have done in the first place, because the football stadium's a huge piece, and it's the biggest revenue generator and all that in terms of what sports can be and probably should be moving forward in this town. So that maybe should have been where they started, but it's not what they came to. So if that's his plan, like, unveil the plan. Come out right now and say, this is the plan, we're working on it, and it's going to happen. But it doesn't seem like there is that plan, and so then you have to do what you promised.
I got no sense that was the plan, and it's too late. It's too late. We've already been through this. We've made the decision.
Right.
Can't go back now, I don't think.
Exactly.
All right, coming up, pick six here on the show. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.